My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, October 10th, 2021. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, give this show a 5-star review, let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. But if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival and subscribe for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. It's $3 a month. You get at least 2 bonus episodes a month with me talking about stuff and things. This is episode 537. I have a super special return guest that you know and you love. It's Randolph Terrence from the Three Guys On podcast and a writer on Open Mic with Reese Waters. I'm going to share that conversation that I had with him, with you, in a bit. Right now, I just want to talk to you for a little bit. I actually just got done talking to Randolph, so this is essentially hot off the press. I don't know what you call an MP3, but this will be a hot, fresh MP3 ready for you, like Little Caesars. And I know some of you fucking elitists out there think Little Caesars isn't that great. When you're 10 years old, it's pretty fucking good. And I bet if you got caught within a rock and a hard place and you're like, oh, there's a Little Caesars across the street, you would probably be into it. It's not that bad. I think I've had it maybe within the last 3 or 4 years. I did a show in not necessarily upstate New York, but it was in this town, and I went after the show. It was pretty fucking good, bro. That's enough, because Little Caesars is not sponsoring this podcast. I have no sponsorship, but I would just say it was pretty good. What's been going on? I've just been busy with this project that I'm working on for the last few weeks. It's been going well. It's been fun. I think that's just keeping busy. I did some jury duty. Those sessions ended. That was interesting to get to know about things going on in Bergen County. My life is really fucking boring. I'm just a dude. My life is, it's not boring. It's just the fact that I'm a dude that goes to work, tries to pay most of my bills, and every now and then I do something interesting on TV or on stage. And, you know, so that's my life. But the thing is that people, it's just like, Jesus Christ, what is going on here? I have bought Madden and NBA 2K22. I played Madden for like a half an hour, and I bought 2K last week. I have not played it yet. I've read some books. I'm currently on I think I might have talked about this last week. I'm on the Henry Aaron biography by Howard Bryant. I've been reading that. I did watch, what have I watched? I've just finished Dear White People on Friday. Really, I really enjoyed it. I don't know. People aren't talking about it anymore. I don't know if people are still watching it or not. Nobody on Twitter said anything about it, but I did enjoy it. It was a musical. they did like a bunch of nine. There's a show that they do every year called the Varsity Show, and the black kids got to take over the show. It was normally a predominantly white production, and then the black students got to take over it, and they wanted to turn it into a 90s musical. So throughout the whole series, throughout the whole season, they had 90 songs. Some of the cast could sing, some of them could not. But it was an enjoyable season, so I dug it. It was a nice little send-off because they did their 4 years, and they did some things. They ended it well. I would say that Dear White People stuck the landing in a way that Felicity did not. If I were to compare that to two television shows about college, Felicity had way more episodes. I think Dear White People would have had at least 40, maybe. Did they do 40? Did they do 10 each season? Let me look that up. I don't want to be Dear White People comedy drama series. How many episodes did they did 40 episodes. Felicity had to do way more. Felicity probably did 100, probably. Let's see. If they didn't do 100, they did close to... I didn't want Felicity Huffman. I wanted the TV series. They did 84. So they had more to work with. So they did 22 the first season, 23 second. Third season, they did 17. Fourth season, they did 22. I did like Felicity. They did the flash forward type thing. And even Dear White People did the same thing. But they just did it. I think when you have less episodes, stuff can be tighter. I just didn't feel like they stuck the landing with Felicity, although I still loved the show. Both shows I really did like. But yeah, I would say Dear White People, they stuck the landing. Some interesting stuff on that show. I'm on the third episode of Squid Game that everybody's talking about. That's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting. I like it. I'm watching American Rust on Showtime. I'm watching BMF on Stars. And I'm trying to think of anything else that I'm watching. I'm going to wait for Black Wonder Years. I think Rod called it the Blunder Years because it's black. But I'm going to wait for Wonder Years to be over and then just binge watch it in my free time, wherever that comes. But I think that's about it, guys. I don't want to hold you too long. I look forward to for Patreon folks, some letterbox dump, and maybe by myself, maybe with a guest. Yeah, that'll be coming soon. Do not fret, Patreon users. Your content is coming. But I wanted to make sure that I got this episode out with Randolph. So Randolph and I agreed to have a chat this week. And we basically just kind of shoot the shit a little bit. Then we talk about Dave Chappelle's special, The Closer. And then we talk a little bit about Ted Lasso and some other stuff like that. So I really appreciate you guys listening. And I hope you enjoy my conversation with my great friend, Randolph Terrence, from Three Guys On and the Open Mic television show on WUSA 9 with their host, Reese Waters. But right now, here's me and Randolph Terrence. So I pulled the Randolph Terrence today.
What'd you do?
I went to 3 different grocery stores. I went to this market. So first of all, this morning I get home around 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't park my car in the lot because there was like medical professionals all over the place, like ambulances, fire trucks, EMTs all over the place. Apparently there had been a fire at this little office building. You know how they have houses as office buildings?
Yeah.
And it was smoke coming out of it. And apparently 3 hours before at 11 a.m., they had a fire
And so I had to park on the like on this on a side street, and I walked in and I was just asking the EMTs, and they showed me videos of it, and I was like, Jesus Christ. And but nobody was hurt, so that good, was cool. Good. Then I got up early. Well, I did not get up early. I got up around 9. I
told you need to be getting your rest, man.
I am getting my rest. And I got up. I said, well, let me just move my car. And I said, if I go to my car and go to the market, I won't have to go out after the pod. Mm-hmm. And so I went to my market and got some stuff for the week. And I said, you know what? I had a taste for some pizza. And I was like, not going to spend so much money on delivery. So that I went to Fresh Market, because mm-hmm. Fresh Market has this like Home Run Inn pizza. Right. That's like mm-hmm. Chicago. Have you ever had it before?
No, but I've seen it.
Yeah, it's like it's Chicago yeah. pizza, but it's just a regular, like it's a normal crust.
It costs like $22. Fresh Market might be fucking around with the prices.
No. It was like eight bucks. It was eight yeah, bucks. Okay. And so I was like, okay, let me do that. And then I was like, and then they got these. I was like, God, I would like wings with it. But I was like, I bet they don't have no wings. They have these roasted wings, which I tried before we started this. Mm-hmm. Not bad.
Have had their wings.
They're good, right?
Not bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're a whole little deli. Fresh Market's a little deli. The only thing is like, if you get the chicken, I suggest you get the dark meat. Don't get the white meat.
So are you talking chicken like that you get
from the rotisserie?
Okay. All right.
They got the shit out there, you know, but the white meat be dry as fuck.
Okay. I'm not going to do that then.
Get the dark meat. You know what I've been doing for lunch is I'll buy two thighs.
Yeah.
Make some ramen. Separate the meat off the thighs, just pull the mm-hmm. meat off the thigh and throw it in there and then take that to lunch. I've been doing that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a place, because I'm trying not to eat like a fifth grader while I'm in the city.
Yeah.
One of my castmates took me to this place called Dig. Mm-hmm. It used to be called Dig In, but they rebranded. I went to one in Westchester a couple years ago. Wasn't that impressed, but I went there with her and I got a bowl with chicken thighs, brown rice, mm-hmm. Caesar salad, roasted carrots. Bro.
Yeah.
Really good.
There's a spot here called Cava or Cava.
I've heard of that.
Caroline just texted me and asked if we could go to Carlisle at 1:15 to have lunch. And Ted's going to go. Do you want to come? 1:15?
Yeah, that's fine.
We'll be done. Yeah.
Go on the show.
and then
I don't talk to her like that. That's just me.
No, you know, no. He's
around, that's me fucking around my wife.
He's not being problematic. they wouldn't be together this long if they
that's me people. Fucking around with my wife.
Yeah. what was it? Yeah, so that was good. Yeah, I just try not to just be, I try to be better than I used to be. It was impressive because before then it was, because I was going to go to Potbelly and get Double Points Thursday. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she was like, let's go to Dig. And I was like, all right. And that's it's much better.
Yeah.
Sweet Green and Dig are my new spots.
Right. I mean, yeah. Find a spot, give it a shot, man.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, man. Shut, man. Yeah, so
you look good, man. You look good. You look
oh, good. Thanks.
You look the bike riding and stuff is doing it for you.
I'm still a fatty, but I'm
spry.
But I'm working on it. You know what I mean? Like a fat man
defended his boxing title last night. So
that's why the bars were crazy last night?
Yeah, because the fight was going on.
We found
the fight too.
How do you feel about this? And we'll get into some stuff, but how do you feel about like bars where like during the week or a normal time where there's not that many people there and they should be glad to have you, and yeah. then when it's an event they're like, they try to charge us $10 to get into this bar.
I think they pay a fee for those that's why they charge
for the fights. Okay, because we
they have to pay a fee to license the fight and show it in their bar.
Okay, because there were
they don't have to be an asshole about it.
Yeah, there were.
They probably don't even have to charge 10, to tell you the truth. They probably get away with charging like 5.
I know they. I don't know what they did. They used to do at this Hooters that's now closed by me. RIP. Sad. Such a sad loss. I mean,
never had a good experience in Hooters.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm sorry.
Never had a good experience in Hooters. I think the food is, the wings are just okay.
Yeah, I think they're better than like Buffalo Wild Wings or whatever. But
I find the ambiance to be, I don't know, bitchy. It's just it's not, you know. I don't blame the women. They got these guys fucking leering over them, and
yeah,
calling that, at them and shit like that.
That shit is creepy. I don't
blame the women for. I just mean the whole overall vibe of the joint. I'm like, I don't want to be in here.
The girls are hot, but it's like, I don't.
They're a bunch of testosterone up dudes.
Yeah. I don't. It's not about most of the time. Like I said, most of the time. It's for the wings. And a lot of times I do take out.
Yeah.
And
I don't like Hooters like that to be like, I got, you know what I need? Some Hooters wings. I don't.
Well, they. What was I saying? Yeah, I don't know. They used to have UFC. They had football there, but you didn't have to pay a cover or anything.
Yeah.
So we were getting out of the second show last night, and there were two of the castmates went to our spot that we were like, okay, this is our spot. And then they got in, and I texted them, and I was like, did you guys have to pay? And they were like, no, we just walked in. But they were trying to charge us because it was like 3 or 4 dudes and another and a woman. And they were like, it's $10. And we were standing in the door trying to see what we were going to do. And the dude was like, are you coming in or out? Are you guys in or out?
That's why I don't go to. I was like, if you're going to be like that, I'm not going in.
Yeah.
I'm not going in. I don't need it that bad.
Yeah.
You know? As a matter of fact, if you're charging me at a bar where you don't normally charge,
right,
you need to be polite.
Exactly.
Like, exactly. Hey, listen, we know, yeah, we don't normally do this, but we're paying these fees, and come on, man, you know what it is.
Because we're comics. We work around people in food service, it's hospitality, and we're a part of the night. We're a part of that. So those are my people. So when I get that disrespect, it's like, okay, I'm probably done with you.
Yeah, and that's how I feel about Hooters. I've never had a good experience in Hooters because of that. That same shit right there. Like I said, I don't blame the girls.
Right.
They got to deal with this shit. I'm like, the atmosphere of Hooters doesn't lend itself to. It's predatory, man.
It is. It's very predatory.
Motherfuckers are up on some predatory shit. You ain't gonna have a good time.
And they're just like, do you want to buy a calendar? No, I just want the wings. I'm fat. Just give me the wings and
you could Buffalo Wild Wings and have a better time if you're gonna go. If you got a choice between Hooters and Buffalo Wild Wings, take Buffalo Wild Wings.
It's just like, I'll tip you well, but I don't need a girlfriend.
I just as soon go to a strip club and have a better time.
Yeah. I've had good experiences there, but it just depends on where you are. But like, yeah, I just don't appreciate that. So we just ended up going and went to this Mexican spot and kicked it for a little bit before everybody went home.
Yeah, well, motherfucker said some shit like that. You coming in or out? Well, I'm out now.
Yeah.
I'm out.
That's like back in the day if P. Brennan's tried to charge after the show. It's like, no, this is our place. We're not
every weekend.
Yeah, what are you doing? So that was some bullshit.
Like you said, we're all people of the night. So
yeah,
y'all know what it is,
right?
We see each other. We see you. You see us.
Exactly.
Hey, what's happening? It should be that type of vibe.
Exactly. How's the new gig treating you? The writing job, open mic with Reese Water.
Like I said, we've been doing it for so long. It's just doing the live show, but
yeah.
Still trying to find our way. We've had we've only had one hiccup so far. So
is it a hiccup you can talk about, or hiccup that you guys notice but the audience doesn't?
No, it was a an internal thing.
Oh, okay. That's
it was an internal thing on high.
Okay.
We had to have two meetings about it, actually.
Oh shit.
to get it resolved. It's fine, it resolved perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. Well, that happens in a production, so it's just one of those things, you know.
The thing is, we don't know what we're going to evolve into. We'll just let it grow organically.
Yeah, that's how it has to. But is it still,
you know, in my mind, I'm always, even now, I gotta start figuring out what's the next thing. I gotta start in my mind. I'm already doing that.
Oh.
You know, like I gotta start writing. I gotta write a screenplay. I'm already doing that.
I think that never goes away.
Right.
But the danger is you don't appreciate the experience that you're having currently.
I've been writing for a show now. How long have I been there, dear? Like, it's kind of be coming up on
3-4 years.
3 years now, probably 3 years. So I've been writing continuously now for 3 years.
Yeah.
But you know, even now I'm still like, I gotta get some more shit in the can, man. I gotta do something, because you never know. You know, me and Andy were just talking about it, you know, last week. Like, you never know, you know.
Yeah. If the pandemic has taught us one thing, it's taught us that nothing is promised. And
I mean,
most people would already know that if you're Black, you kind of know. But no, I shouldn't say that. But you know what I will say about being Black is, you know, we were talking about this the other day, being aware of how people are being treated, how you should be treated, yes, how other people should be treated.
How other people being treated. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like you should have that awareness. And I think we were talking about that with regards to Dave Chappelle, but I want to still stay on on mission here, what we're talking about with this show.
Yeah.
You have to enjoy it, because when it's gone, you're right, like, God damn, I was in it, I was doing this, and I didn't enjoy it.
Any parts of it, the fruits of the labor, because you know, in your mind, you're like, well, that sucked. I didn't even think it was that good. I mean, I guess, you know, and not letting yourself breathe with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not letting yourself breathe with it. Yeah, I think we all have that. From stand-up sets to whatever you write, to acting roles in your case.
Yeah. I'm
sure we all have that. Rick and I have talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he did 2 years on Broadway. We talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, and always like, particularly as creatives, it's like, I got to get something in a can, man, because this shit can be taken away. You know, you start
thinking, right,
like, you know. So yeah. I've been really thinking about, I never even considered writing screenplays and stuff like that, or writing and publishing a book of essays or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It can be done. I've seen people do it and have successful careers. I was messaging somebody the other day about that, that did that. Yeah. So it can be done. It's not
right.
The blueprint's there for you.
Like, and you see Aaron now is over going over to Aaron Jackson. Friend going over to the Upshaws. I texted her, you know, it's like, holy shit, I'm so happy for you. She texted back, we're writers, can you believe it?
I know, right?
You've always been a writer. I'm the one who's like, can you believe this shit?
Well, you're writing your jokes. You're not stealing anybody's jokes.
I'm a writer. can you believe this?
Emmy nominated writer.
I'm a writer.
So, well, you've been writing jokes for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
I think it's just the medium in which you're doing it that probably that's a little different. You know, I see people that you're like, that person is doing this job. Holy shit. Yeah. It's like, wow. Wow.
How did you get that shit?
It could happen. It's a lot of this stuff in show business, you see it all the time, and even in any industry, it's who you know. I was just talking to my dad about this, like, but never before have I seen it so much in my face with this month that I've been working on.
Yeah, because this
project that I can't
immerse, you're just immersed deeper into it.
Yeah,
way deep into it now.
Yeah, it's like
day for a month, not a couple days as a day player on a movie where nobody's even really talking to you about really shit. Just like, hey, go over there and do this and put this costume on. Now you're part of it, and you're like, what the fuck, it's man? Like,
because this is a thing. Like when Howard Bryant was on the show, we were talking about the generational thing where it's like you work hard and the white people aren't better than you. Mm-hmm. You work hard and you'll get it the American way. But now it's just like, it's like, holy shit, you worked hard and you've gotten to a specific place. It's like that Fonte line, the higher I go, all I see is stair steps.
Yeah.
It's like that sort of thing. And it's like, yeah, you've achieved something. There's more that you want to accomplish, but damn. And you look at it, how everybody else around you kind of got there a little easier. Like they might have started on second base and you're like, holy shit, it's a different.
Yeah,
this is a different ball game.
Everybody else is of a different hue.
Yes,
and they get mad. We point it out. I'm like, well, tell me that it's wrong. I'm like, you never say that it's wrong. You just get mad that we point it out.
Dude, I don't even point it out. But I, speaking of, like, to your point of like what the next thing is, I went to see Shakespeare in the Park, Merry Wives of Windsor, and about a month ago, and I'm walking to the theater, and I see one of the dudes from the play. He was sitting outside, like running lines for something. He was mumbling, you know, and he was looking at a script. And I just said, excuse me, brother. I was like, you were great in Merry Wives. And he was like, oh, thank you, brother. Thank you. You know, he was working on the next thing.
Working on the next thing. Yeah. He's like, I gotta get this next part. Mm-hmm.
And you look at this dude, like, that motherfucker's killing it. And you look, he's got these credits and all this stuff. And then he like, next gig.
Again, talking about Rick, I call Rick. I think, I don't know if I called Rick one day or Rick called me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'm off today from the show because I'm going to shoot a commercial. Like, you did what? You taking off the commercial? He's like, yes.
Yeah.
I took a day off of my Broadway show to shoot a commercial. Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what I did. You know?
Yeah. It's true, because it's like, it's a job. It's a job. Yeah. Like everything else is a job, and sometimes you don't,
you take a day off to go do something.
We got a guy that's doing that too, so it's one of those things, man. But you do have to try to enjoy it no matter how it bogs you down.
Yeah, and you go to shoot a commercial, you can't even lie and be like, I'm sick. You can't do that because they go see the commercial.
They're gonna see it. Yeah you can't lie about that at all.
Yeah.
Well, I know, I'm sure you probably talked about this ad nauseum on Three Guys On, but the Dave Chappelle special came out last week and people are in a tizzy about it.
Yeah. Andy said it best. Andy's like, it's, imagine me and Chappelle, you just can't put out a special. You just can't put out a special. Anything you put out is going to be, it's going to be, you know, people going to dissect it 50 million ways from Sunday. You can't just put out a special, you know.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I don't really feel sorry for him or anything like that. I'm like,
no, I don't either.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah. And we were talking about it this, you know, I watched it twice and I liked it better the second time.
Second run through. Yeah, I'm going to watch it again today.
I just thought that and I'm not trying to be sanctimonious. I'm not trying to act like I'm a good person because I didn't really care for the trans stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like the last two, like even in Sticks and Stones, I thought that was a great, that fucking intro to Sticks and Stones was like singing 1999.
Right.
Boom. Right into the Bourdain shit and his friend that he, I was like, The way that he plays with structure and his storytelling is second to none.
Mm-hmm.
He's entered another realm where we've probably, this is what I always talk about improving on the design and doing something new. Like, that's what Dave is like. It's like, you know, Dick Gregory, Cosby, mm-hmm. Pryor, Eddie, Dave, like Chris, taking the torch and moving it forward.
Weird. You didn't list any white comics. Why not, Chris?
Carlin. you know what I'm saying? But I'm, you know, as a,
the one, Carlin.
I love Burr. Everybody knows I love Burr. It's not, and I'm not saying like I don't like these white comics, but it's just like you look at the people that look like you, like they do.
Yeah. You look at the people who look like you,
and you know, like a Martin Lawrence.
We'll talk about the thing you would talk about.
Yes, exactly. Besides
the trans stuff, that's not.
Yeah, Yeah.
You know,
I
actually do a joke about a trans woman. You've heard me do it.
Yeah. It's on the album, right? It's on.
No. This is going to be on the new one.
What's her name? What's the one you like?
I don't want to say the name because I don't want to.
Okay. Don't say the name.
But you heard me do it.
I've heard the bit. Yeah. And it's not like it's.
Oh, and by the way, I don't think I ever told you that. A girl approached me after I did the bit. You remember the bit?
I do.
A girl approached me and told me that why was I being transphobic when I did this bit? Think about the bit. I'm like, that's not what the bit is at all.
Yeah.
I mean, literally at all. It's 100% opposite. I'm like, what did you get from this? How did you arrive at that? How did you arrive there? Cause it is not, I mean, at all. Did you just stop listening?
Yeah. You know? Some people,
I wasn't even upset. I was just baffled. I was like, how did you arrive at that?
Some people hear those words.
Ball-headed little white girl.
Some people hear those words, dude, and that's it, and they just black out.
Yeah.
But I think Dave is in another realm that we've never seen before, mm-hmm. artistically. And we've never experienced this, to where in his specials, where he's like commenting on what critics are saying, it's just a different thing, because you just think a special is supposed to be this thing that's like, I don't know if insular is the right word, but it's like a contained moment, to where it's a chapter in this comedian's life where they're talking about this thing and that's it. Not necessarily commenting on what somebody said in the last one. And like, I know Rod was saying it in our text thread, it's almost like a dance. It's almost like a routine between him and the critics. Like, I say this, and this is your turn to volley back. You're going to parry.
It's a tennis match.
Yeah, it's a tennis match. And it's just like, okay, well, that's the thing that I didn't like. It's just like, say what you're going to say.
Right.
You don't have to reference anybody. But when people could either like or not like it, again, I'm not trying to say I'm a good person because I did not like the gay and trans stuff.
Right.
Like, I just thought I would have liked to have heard more on other topics, as opposed to something that's kind of flimsy with regards to the false equivalency of baby.
A lot of the lines of logic don't hold up to any scrutiny.
Yeah.
Which is actually, I don't want to say fine in a comedy act.
Sure.
If he was being absurdist with it,
mm-hmm.
It's like you're not trying to be absurdist with it. It's like you're trying to show us how you feel about something.
Yeah.
Well, your lines of logic are faulty.
Yeah. So they're Hotepian.
But he says faulty Hotep lines of logic. He's been saying faulty Hotep lines of logic for years.
Yeah.
All the way back to Donald Trump. Somebody pointed that out. I don't know why they brought it up, but when he did Saturday Night Live, we're going to give you a chance. I'm like, you can't give him a chance. There's no point in even saying that. You know, there's no point. We know what it is he's going to be.
Yeah.
So why would you say that? In order to say that, that's wishful thinking.
Let me ask you this, now that you brought that up. Would we kind of look at that, and not black people? Because they did have that sketch when he was on there about white people being upset, and Chris Rock and Chappelle were like, that was, we talk about false equivalencies, but I'm going to say it anyway. That was 9/11 for a lot of liberal people, voting for. I voted for Hillary, but I was upset, but I was not surprised.
Well, I lost friendships behind it.
Yeah.
I lost friendships behind it. I had to explain it to my daughter the next day,
mm-hmm.
who couldn't understand.
Yeah.
You know, when we got up the next morning, she thought it was going to be Hillary Clinton was going to be president.
Yeah.
She went with us when we voted.
Right. Yeah.
I explained to her, these white folks are shitty, you know.
So it's almost, part of me felt like I'm not going to. Be on him too hard about the SNL thing, because that was kind of like,
I'm not on about it. What I'm saying is that the lines of logic sometimes.
Oh, sure. Give him a chance. Yeah.
For a guy who's a deep thinker.
Yeah.
That's pretty surface level. That's pretty surface level thinking for you to take.
Yeah. A lot of that special, this latest was surface, but it was almost like, is he the guy that's like, let's try to come together. You know what I mean? Like in this moment, is he a Giuliani surrogate in that time? You know what I mean? Like,
just look at a Hotepian politics guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, well, let's give him a chance. And even he addressed it on the one of those specials. I can't remember which one he did, but maybe he did it on Sticks and Stones. I don't remember.
I mean, well, look at his friendship with Joe Rogan.
It's, yeah.
You know, you look at that. And it's that thing of, I talked yesterday about that. Talib had Tom Segura on his podcast, and Talib was talking about meeting Segura.
Okay.
And, meeting Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
He didn't want to meet him, and Chappelle got him to go down to Austin, you know, and then he talked to him, and he told Rogan, you know, I don't like shit you say, basically.
Oh, he
and
did.
Rogan, yeah, and Rogan was like, "What do you mean?" And let's talk about it. And then they came to an understanding. And he's like, Rogan said, you know, as an artist, you have to like push the boundaries, and you're supposed to make people think. And that's basically what I'm doing. And Talib was like, and you know what? That's what I do. And this is, I'm like, that's false.
Yeah,
that's false. First of all, every painter that puts a brush on a canvas is not an artist. Everyone is not. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, there's pushing boundaries and they're saying things that aren't true.
Right.
That just objectively aren't true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that people, I talked about this yesterday on the pod. I think people, a lot of these people now are hiding behind, I'm an artist.
Yeah.
So because Chappelle has said numerous times, It's a comedian's job and an artist's job to stand up and speak recklessly. But no one has ever asked him, well, what's recklessly? What is that? Tell me what that is. It's my job to speak recklessly. Well, what's recklessly? Tell me what that is. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. What am I supposed to be saying that's reckless? You know, it's we're responsible for everything that comes out of our mouth.
Right.
And the impact that it has. We're responsible for that. You know, I don't believe in censoring artists. You do, right. You do what you want, but you're responsible for the art that you put out.
Yeah.
You just get to put stuff out and say, hey, I'm an artist. So do whatever you want with it. I'm an artist. No, you're responsible for the things that you put. You have a responsibility to the ether, to the things that you put out, the ether being everything. You have a responsibility to that. What are you putting into the universe? What kind of energy are you placing into the universe?
Yeah.
You know, it's like for a guy like Rogan, who's like a big like meditation guy, stuff like that, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
What energy are you putting out? You know the foul shit you're saying. You know some of the shit is foul, but you get to hide behind, I'm just making jokes.
Yeah, it's you kind of, it's just about trying to, when you're trying to be better within the confines, that you're trying to be a better artist, you have to take into consideration how society is changing.
Right.
And how you fit in that. And it's not kowtowing to anybody, but that's what makes you one of the greats when you try to think about all these given circumstances that we have in society and try to create in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Dan Le Batard was saying when he was talking about Chappelle, it's just like we're asking the best to be better.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's where it's disappointing for me with Dave, because I can sit back and say, man, I love this dude's structure. I love how he presents his material.
Technically, he's damn near second to none.
Yeah, he's a genius. And it's just like, okay, but you know you have that power. How are you going to use it? How are you going to wield? You got all these infinity stones. What are you going to do with them?
That's the thing I'm saying about you're responsible for the things that you put out in the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
You're responsible for that. You have this ability. You have this power. You put this thing. Well, what are you putting out? Why are you putting these things out? What it's clear to me that he has something to say.
Yeah.
In this last special.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you're trying to convey? You know?
Yeah.
What is that you're trying to put out? And then there's the thing about how other artists, you know, I can't critique another artist because he's an artist and I'm an artist.
Yeah.
And what is it? No, you can critique anything that somebody
you
puts
can.
Out. That's
you
the point of putting it out, is that people are going to critique it, mm-hmm. including other artists.
Yeah, because you know? watching that shit is fucking, dude, I was up at 3 a.m. watching this fucking thing.
Right.
Because I wanted to see it before everybody had their
got to say something.
Everybody had their take before I read anything. And I took it in. I was like, okay. Nah. He said, this is my last one for a while. I was like, yeah, it should be. You should take a break. You can, not to say like he shouldn't do stand-up, but it's like, maybe you don't need to do another special right away. But you fulfilled your contract or whatever. I thought it was...
This arc is you had in your mind, you finished it.
Yeah, right. You, the closer, appropriately named. And it just made the closing chunk, like, flimsy, where he has that gift to as one of the... a great orator, like a great speaker. I've said last summer or a couple years ago that he's griot status now.
Yeah. I've repeated that. I've said Chris Lambert said he's griot status. I'm like, yeah, he's reached the griot status, but you may not always like what the stories that the griot is telling.
Right. You know,
but that doesn't mean he's not a griot.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just kind of like, I give him that respect, and it's just like, well, damn, I wanted to. It's just like with Louis, where it's like, okay, you fucked up and you're going to talk about it on stage. And if you don't,
yeah, you're a fraud.
If you don't open up, because Pryor did it.
Yeah. Big time.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like,
you don't talk about it, you're a fraud.
Yeah. You want your great
thing about your honesty and stuff on stage. It's fraudulent. It's not true.
Yeah.
You know,
so yeah, that's my thing with him. It's just like, you just kind of want the best to be better, because watching that shit is fucking inspiring, man. It's like, well, yeah. I want to get on stage and I want to talk about my truth, the things that I believe in, try to make them funny. And that's what makes us professionals. That's what separates us from the guy at the water cooler.
Yeah.
Or the woman.
You know, I mean, thinking about talking about my daughter's trans friend.
Mm-hmm. I told you, I messaged you.
I just saw last night again at this. We went to a bat mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something, white folks, they don't fucking open bar at a bat mitzvah.
Yeah. Oh.
Bruh.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah,
open bar hits differently when you're in your 50s. Let me tell you that shit.
Negatively or positively?
Both. Both. I got up this morning going to the gym like, ooh. Boy, I was supposed to go by Mike B's got a new open mic.
Yeah.
He started, I was like, I ain't going. I'm going home. Yeah.
Oh, that's problematic.
I'm going home.
Yeah, dude. Like you told a story.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but I'm like, I don't know now. Can I talk about it now? It wouldn't stop me, because now as a comedian, if you start down a transgender lane, people they fucking freeze up on you. I'm like, I'm not saying what it is you think I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not a hateful person on stage anyway.
Yeah. So. That's the fun to me. That's the fun in the whole Make thing. And I heard that story. I know you, first of all.
Yeah.
And I know that story's not malicious. The thing is like, oh, I didn't know that. So now I know how to talk to you. I know how to motivate you as a coach.
Yeah, as a coach. Right. Right.
So I mean, that's the fun.
That explains your little funky ass attitude.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, like that's what it is. So, I mean, that's where the work comes in.
Right.
And I didn't really see that in his special where it was just like, I'm going to use my friend, my trans friend, and just as my quote unquote black friend,
would
metaphor or black friend excuse for me to say that,
right? Which because I don't know. There were, like I said, there were things that the one thing that caught my attention was where he said, we talked about how you know, the community bullied her.
Yes.
And she killed herself.
Right.
Okay, so all these people going after Chappelle, no one seems to want to address that statement.
They don't, because it weakens their argument.
Like, did you all bully her? Because according to Talib, her family and Chappelle, they did, because she supported Talib too, because he was getting attacked.
He's always fighting people.
She was supporting him, and then it was a week later that she took her life.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah, because the community was bullying her.
Right.
Because she was supporting Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is that a true statement? Seems to be, because I haven't heard anybody saying we weren't doing that. I haven't heard anybody saying that.
Yeah.
So address that.
Yeah. You
know, address it's that. Like, I'm not saying that the bullying, she killed herself because of the bullying. I'm not saying that.
Right.
I'm not saying that she didn't either.
And it didn't help. I don't think that shit helped.
I'm not saying that she didn't. So we don't know. We don't know. You know? I know if I bully somebody and they kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't even imagine feeling that.
But then at the same time, some of the critiques are a la carte anyway. I mean, you're gonna pull that stuff. Like the dude, like there was one dude from The Undefeated that was like, he's kowtowing for white people. I'm like,
but you get that. Yeah.
I was like, no, dude, you don't like the guy. You don't like the special. That's fine. But he's not being a coon. Like,
I saw a guy call him a modern day minstrel. I was like,
yeah, that's the dude. Yeah. It was. I was like, what are you talking
about?
Anytime you talk about space Jews,
space Jews,
that is not, that means I have more than enough money. I have generational wealth. And I don't care what anybody
fuck what you think.
I don't care what you think about me. Because I was like, I clutched my pearls, dog. I was like, oh my God.
Ace Jews.
Do you want to work again, buddy? Like, he don't care.
Nope.
So nobody said anything about that. I was just like, I don't know if I like that joke that much, but it was just like,
where he said space Jews, because space Jews comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, I was like, like I've never David, but but to me that was the most striking thing out of that special, because we heard the trans and gay stuff before.
Yeah
You know, but it's the thing is just like, you know, as fellow comedians, I take it as it comes, and I think like, wow, that was, I really appreciate his craftsmanship, and I try to apply the good things that he has to my own game and really try to push myself, because I think we can all do that, you know. What I don't like is like, oh, y'all didn't like it. It's always somebody, y'all didn't like it because y'all don't get, you know, it's just, I don't know.
By the way, if you don't like it, whatever it is you don't like or whatever, all that's valid.
Yeah, it's valid.
Any type of art that you don't like, it's valid. It's whatever just, the reasoning may be, it's fine.
Dude, it's just other comics that try to act, that could not hold a candle to any, that just, that don't fucking do the work and just trying to stand behind that Hotepian bullshit or the push boundaries.
Five,
where
5% or shit.
Yeah, it was where we're, it, or not even that. It's just like, you're not good. You don't just... don't say anything. I don't know, maybe that's me, I'm being an asshole.
No, I don't think so,
but I think if you don't have to, you know, you don't have to watch it if you don't like it.
The thing about Netflix, used to take it off. You could just not watch it.
You could watch Squid Game, you could watch
a lot of shit on Netflix. You don't have to watch Chappelle's show.
You can watch Dear White People, which I've watched. I binge watched that. Yeah, man. Another show that ended season. Ted Lasso. They ended their second season, and your queen was on telling us it was.
She just stepped back into the room. So
it was because of her that you started watching the show.
What happened? It wasn't because of her. She tells herself that, and I give her credit for it.
You text me and told me that.
I give her credit for it. Yes, I said thank you for bringing it into my life. But the reasoning why was because of that one episode about the haircut. in season two.
Now, even before the haircut, go ahead.
I wasn't even thinking about it before the haircut.
Okay.
Mainly because I'm not a soccer head, even though, and again, Here Comes the Queen was like, go ahead and it's not about soccer. It's not about soccer. It's not about soccer. Yeah. And I was like, I'm sure it's funny. I like the guy Sudeikis. I'm sure it's funny. It's just, I don't know if I want to take another thing on, you know, another thing to watch. And I wasn't really even thinking about it. You know, everybody else was watching it. No big deal. Not anti. I wasn't anti it or anything like that. So I watched that one scene because Ashley, what's her name? Ashley Nicole Black?
I think so. That she writes on the show, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's who it is. From Black Lady Sketch Show. Mm-hmm. Wrote that episode. I was like, she's writing on this show? Oh, so now I'm starting to peak attention. I'm like, she's writing on this show. And then I read a thing of somebody Black wrote a thing about how Black men bond over cutting their hair and grooming care and stuff like that, how it's a big bonding event. So I was like, let me see this scene. So the wife pulled up the scene. I watched the scene. I was like, okay, that's pretty good. And then there was another scene that it went right into after that scene. And at that point, my interest started to be piqued. So I said, well, shit, I'm going to have to go back. And then I was like, I got to go back and start from the very beginning. I don't want to
go
all the way back to the beginning again. But they're only 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I can fucking do this. So I sat down and I think, what did I do in 2 days?
I started watching it too.
Yeah. And then she came back and started watching with me again. So we watched, and I mean, I bang, bang, bang. I just ran through them.
Yeah.
We were 30 minutes. The thing that's really grabbed me, other than my wife twisting my arm to get me to watch it, thank you, honey, was the writing of it is really,
right.
You know, writing has always kind of, it's funny now thinking about things. Even before I was a writer, writing has always, the writing of things have always got me. And the writing of the show is really sharp. Really sharp. I mean, they leave the things I haven't even thought about in writing, you know, like you leave a breadcrumb, you're thinking of a long-term arc. So you leave a breadcrumb here and then another breadcrumb here and another breadcrumb here. Not even like obvious ones, just some shit. Like later you go back and go, oh shit.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the Book of Eli when you find out at the end that the character is blind.
Right. Spoilers.
If you ain't seen the Book of Eli by
I'm
now,
just joking.
I don't know what to tell you.
12 years ago or something.
But if you see at the end that he's blind, but if you go back to the very beginning and watch it again, you see that they're giving you clues all through it. He's bumping into shit. I swear to God, he bumped into a table.
Okay.
And the first time when you watch it, you're like, you don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You just think he was so focused on this thing that's why he bumped in that table. No, he bumped in the table because he didn't see it.
How underrated is Denzel in that fucking movie?
Very much so, because of shit like that.
Yeah.
Because of shit like that. You're like, when you go back and watch it again, you're like, God damn, look at the shit he's doing.
And for Ellen Pompeo to fucking, I talked about it last week. I'm sorry. I don't know. He came down from Mount Olympus, dog. Okay,
right,
I'm
right.
done. I'm done. Right. I'm done.
So that's how I got into. It was like that scene and the wife encouraging me got me into it.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm in.
Well, I liked it. You know, I was talking to Veronica P about it, and it just seemed like because a lot of people liked it, people were trying to take the piss out of it.
Yeah.
So I'd watched the first season after it was done. And I was like, oh, cool. This is cool. He had the little Allen Iverson practice speech.
That was fucking great. I was telling my wife, I was like, oh, Allen Iverson, that is fucking great.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? I said, you remember Allen Iverson? That's where that's from. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I like this show. And I just said, oh, this is a good show. But then the pandemic happened and everybody was like, in these times. Ted Lasso is a show that is going, it's our vaccine. It is.
Yeah, and I don't agree with that. Like you and I were talking about how everybody thinks it's like this. It's somebody said it last night at the Bat Mitzvah. They were like, it's such a wholesome show. I was like, it's not wholesome.
No, it's dark.
It's dark as shit.
His dad blew his brains out or something.
Dark shit happening. Motherfuckers are crying left and right in this show.
Well, the thing that the thing that got me with season two was the airline company having that stranglehold over that African nation, or like,
right,
what was it?
Right.
what it was, some kind of bullshit that they were doing.
Yeah, I think they were poisoning the water.
Poisoning the water. Right, and then right. Sam, the
overall company,
yeah,
works for the, one of their subsidiaries was poisoning the water.
Yeah, and Sam was having that conversation with his father. I was like, oh shit! And so when they did that, I was like, oh, they're not fucking around,
right?
And and for the banter thing to come up to be a sponsor, and then call get this Sam and my white queen,
Hannah Waddington.
Hannah, oh my God.
I didn't know she had it like that.
Neither did I, because I did not watch, I haven't seen Game of Thrones, but
she don't look like that in Game of Thrones.
Okay, because I was like, whoa,
she
buddy.
Looks like Lunch Lady Doris in Game of Thrones. You don't look like that shit.
So I was like, okay, that's dope. And then the themes that they was talking about after the, you know, they had the weird episode with the beard, with the coach and everything. I figured that out
because they had the, they were only going to do 8 episodes.
Yeah.
They were like, we want, can you give us 2 more?
Yeah. So that just reminded me, that reminded me of a Louis episode.
It
that
did. Was
like a, yeah. Because he looked like Louis.
But it's kind of how he acts. So it
yeah.
It did not fit because that's the way he kind of acts.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. I can see him doing that. And then coming in the next day and saying, oh, nothing.
Yeah, it was fine. I didn't have any problems with it, but yeah, it was just one of those other type of episodes. But that, I think that episode in particular, where with that company and switching sponsors and everything was great. And then the growth, like where everybody, like you, we think Nate is so adorable. I was like, mm-hmm. I said weeks before all this fallout with Nate,
you
I was like,
to me.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Said, yeah, I can kind of see that coming too.
Yeah, so yeah.
I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
Neither did I.
Yeah, he is a full-on piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
just a full-on piece of shit. And I think for me, I think back to it's the moment where Coach empowers him to stand up in front of the team
mm-hmm.
and tell them and give them some critiques.
Yeah.
He was so mean and vicious with it.
Right.
And we were all like at the time, like, oh, look at Nate coming into his
stepping
own.
Up. Yeah.
But again, if you go back and you watch it, you go back and you watch it now, knowing now, know what you're knowing about Nate. He was, when he was, the minute he was empowered, that's what he wanted to be. He wants right. to be a mean, he's a mean, vicious person.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I don't, you know, well, his dad was mean to him. I don't care. You're right. responsible for the actions that you take now. You choose to be, he wants to be a shitty, shitty human being.
Right.
And he is. He's a shitty human being.
Yeah.
And he hates himself. Somebody pointed that out to me, like the scene where Rebecca told him to be large and he was practicing in the mirror and then he spits on himself. He hates himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So if you hate yourself and you're a vindictive, you can't be a coach. You can't lead men.
Yeah. If you ain't a man yourself.
You can't lead, man. You got to be willing to stay after a game in fucking restaurant you own and let some young girl grind on you. You got to be willing to do that shit to be a head coach. That's what makes a good head coach.
Shout out to Urban Meyer. Yo, I thought it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I really loved the depths that it took because I knew – we all knew that there was some type of facade under right. Ted's like happy-go-lucky self. Obviously the breakup of his marriage, but then there was something that was like,
yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. I didn't see the thing coming with his dad.
I was like, oh, so that happy, I'm going to be nice. And that's his armor.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Nate went one way. Ted went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Ted chose goodness.
Yeah.
He chose darkness.
It's weird that it was like.
And the one balanced person is Sam.
Yeah.
Has a relationship with his father.
And I love that was a black yeah. character and his black dad.
Yeah. But Ted apparently had a good relationship with his father.
That's the thing. The thing about that was he's like, I'm not enough.
Yes.
I'm not enough for you to keep living. Like that monologue was beautiful. Like that when talking about the book report where his dad stayed up late and just
Read the whole book. Yeah, that's what dads do.
Yeah. Dads do your science projects.
They do your science
projects. And win second place.
They do your math homework, which I have done. I had to teach myself shit off of YouTube.
Yeah.
To get my daughter through the seventh grade when she was home here. And she had a tutor she could talk to. I had to do it.
Yeah.
I taught myself what she was trying to do. I don't know none of this shit. Not like this. Not the shit they're learning now.
So for that not to be enough, that's devastating.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just to show, I like when Ted said at the end where he just embraced the fact that, yeah, I had a panic attack.
Yeah.
So that just shows you the depths of darkness that somebody would have to go into to kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who knows the dark level, which bringing it back to Chappelle, who knows the darkness that Daphne was going through?
Right.
To kill herself. But I don't think bullying helped.
No, it did not. It did not. Well, by your own community, that didn't.
You know, I don't know the depths that they were in. Who knows the depths that Ted's father was in?
Yeah.
Who knows the depths that Anthony Bourdain was in? Anthony Bourdain loved his kids, loved his life, had a great life.
Yeah.
Had a perfect life and killed himself.
You know?
You have to be in the depths of despair to do that.
Yeah. It's really something, man. That's like this art, this thing that we do, the thing that we try to get better at. And regardless of how much acclaim that you have, I just know how it makes me feel when I get to do it, like especially stand up where it's so immediate. It's so when it's on, when you feeling it, you feeling it. And
push back.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
We're gonna go to a place in Delray.
Okay.
So we have a little more time.
It sounds like you guys are going to Florida, but you're in Virginia.
Delray is over up the street.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a restaurant. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, okay. Okay. Or was it something else that we wanted to touch on?
Like Greens Point, Brooklyn. You're still in Brooklyn, but you're in Greens Point.
Yeah. 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 And I'm working on stuff because next year I want to do something, but yeah, like you want to keep pushing, man. I think that's what it's about. And I like the
building of each character.
Yeah.
I like Roy's building and growth. I don't like Jamie, but I like the way they're building his character.
Jamie. Yeah.
The brother that's not the team captain.
Yeah.
He is a full-on team captain. He's the guy. I like that. I like where Roy took him back to his childhood.
Right.
His childhood place. Go play. You know,
right.
Don't think. Just go play soccer again. Just go be the kid you were. Go. You know, it's like going to play. It's like when guys, an NBA guy goes to the Rutgers I just want to play and dunk on somebody and maybe get dunked on and shit talk and I don't have to think about money or anything like that. Performers don't get to do that.
Right.
You know what? I shouldn't say that. If you you do. You get to go to an open mic sometime, just go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And just be, this is what I was when I started. And I can stand up here and just talk. And with no pressure, I don't have to worry about, I got to impress 100 people, 100,000 people, and I got all these fans. I wonder if a guy like Kevin Hart allows himself to do that. Is he going to open mics and just?
They said he's showing up at one of my Facebook friends was saying he was coming to his show, so he's been up there. They took pictures of him and stuff performing.
I know Rock does it.
Oh yeah,
Rock's been doing it. He'll just go and show up and do a set and leave.
Yeah,
Kevin's
doing it.
You can be like, so I liked that arc. I liked the Keely arc where she.
I did too. I felt so bad for her because it used to be a time when Juno Temple is in a movie or any type of show. She's a film actress, but when she shows up in something, it's like she's gonna cause some trouble.
Yeah. She is tiny.
What'd you say?
She is tiny.
She is a tiny
little girl.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way that she handled that stuff with Nate was so, what I want to call it, gracious, like not gracious, but
she
did handle it with grace.
And it looked like it's not the first time something like that happened.
Yes,
to her.
Right. I didn't like how they treated her. Like, I really felt protective of her.
Right, right.
Because like when
also, did you see Nate's reaction? Did you pick up on that? Nate's reaction to Roy not being threatened by Nate?
What did he do? Refresh my memory.
He just got pissed because Roy was like, I kissed Keely. He was like, yeah, I know, don't worry about it. And he was mad because Roy wasn't mad.
Yeah.
You don't even see me as a threat. I'm like, no, boy. That's not about you. That's about Roy's growth as a man.
Yeah.
Because if you had caught up to Roy a couple months earlier, he might have squashed you into a fucking grease spot.
Right. He'd be dead.
But he's grown as a man. He didn't punch Jamie, who is a threat, by the way.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about that in a second.
Well, he headbutted him, but yeah.
He had to get it out.
Yeah, he had to get it out. Yeah.
What did he say? What Steve Harvey just say? Don't trip. He ain't through with me yet.
Yeah.
God ain't through with me yet. Let me get his headbutt. Bang.
Yeah.
You know, but that's, he wants to be, to him, that's another slight. Well, I'm like, it's not about you. Mm-hmm. But that's another slight. You don't even see me as a threat. Well, you're not. That's not about you. That's about Roy growing as a person. That's about Roy being better as a person. Everything's not about you, bitch. Jamie, on the other hand, when he told Keely that he was in love with her, I'm like, that's a childish bitch.
That was some bullshit. Yeah.
That's a child. That's what a child does. You got to take that L, man.
Yeah.
Take that L. Move that shit on into your next relationship. You got to take that L, dog.
Yeah.
Take the L. Take the L and move it on into your next relationship. Ted's learning that now with his marriage being over when he texts her back so you'd like mad thing that she doesn't say anything. Can't ask her those questions anymore, man.
Yeah.
It's not your business anymore.
Right.
You got to take the L and move on and use that for your next relationship.
Use the
goodness from that, which is what's going to happen with Roy and Keely.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen with Sam and Rebecca?
I don't know. It's a strange thing. He's what, 25, 24, 25?
Yeah.
It's a strange thing. I would say, I don't know. If I was counseling Rebecca, I'd be like, listen, first of all, you better quit fucking around for some young woman swoops in and just nabs his boy up.
And so she's gonna be mad.
If you trying to lock this shit down, I suggest you throw your titties on that table and try to roll 7 or 11 fucking around. You know, because you're gonna fuck around and wait too long, and then somebody's gonna swoop in and scoop him up.
Yeah,
he's a fucking catch.
Yeah.
And you get in on the, and by the way, you're going to get in on the ground floor of this catch. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is a man who's developing into something.
Yeah.
You can get in on the ground floor of this. Now, having said that, on his side, does he want to have children? Because she's past that age.
Yeah.
Does he want to? I mean, there's ways around that, but that's a concern that you have to think of.
You about to get it popping with that Nigerian restaurant.
Yeah, the business aspect of it, as far as like him working for, I don't even think about shit like that. I think people seem to forget that. You hear a lot about a lot of relationships that begin
at work.
That shit's happening right now as we're doing this podcast. That's happening right now.
Yeah.
So I don't even concern myself with that. It's just about how mature are these two people. They both seem to be mature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's dealing with not even the loss of her marriage, because she never really had a marriage.
Yeah.
Her husband was a piece of shit.
So. It seems like they're two decent people. Yeah. So for the show, it would be kind of boring. Like, you would root for them, obviously,
but maybe you need that's the thing about Higgins and his family. Or Sam and his father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to be able to see that.
Yeah.
You know, because those things exist. Sam's relationship with his father, like you were saying with black fathers. Mm-hmm. Sam's relationship with his black father, and they always end their calls with, I love you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Sam's relationship with his black father, you need to see that those things exist.
Right.
You know, Higgins loves his wife and that all those kids and loves his job, loves that team, you know, brought them all to his home, you know, for Christmas. Those things exist, and we need to see that, you know. So if Sam and Rebecca were to have a boring ass good relationship, fucking good.
Yeah.
Fucking good. That's a
I
good
would,
thing.
No, I wouldn't mind it. I live vicariously through it.
Right. That's a good thing to see.
So that's why I liked about it. What did you think about Dr. Sharon?
I liked her a lot. She kind of a little bit reminds me of my own therapist.
Okay.
The talking part.
Yeah.
Mine is not as abrupt as that. but the talking and the apologizing for bad things you're going through. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of power in there that I didn't realize until I started talking to my therapist. Like if I'll say such and such happened and it was bad, she always says, I'm sorry for that. And she means it.
Yeah.
That's a powerful thing. I never even thought about that until I started going to therapy, that just somebody saying that I'm sorry you're going through this, because I am, because I care about you. And I'm sorry that you have to go through this. Me saying I'm sorry doesn't mean I'm going to try and fix it for you. I can't. I mean, if I can, I'll help you if I can.
Yeah.
But that's not why I'm saying it. I'm saying it because I'm legitimately sorry for you. She did that for Ted. Mm-hmm. That's when I knew their relationship was changing. Yeah, was he talking about his father dying when she said it? It was something mundane and she said it. And I remember thinking their relationship just changed.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry, you know.
Right.
You know, you say stuff like that to people that you care about.
Because you knew she was good there to help, and then Ted was just trying to avoid. It's like, because so I liked how they did it. Because like, what is he running from? What is he hiding from? Like,
what's he hiding? Right.
So you know, there's something there. Yeah, I liked her. I liked her character. I liked that she kind of had her shit that she was dealing with.
Yeah.
And
she's talking to her therapist.
Yeah, like she was a real person. So, it's just a really good show all around. And
the cat that plays Roy, you know, basically wrote the character and realized, this is me, I can do this, I'm this character.
Yeah,
you know.
So Brett Goldstein, he won,
auditioned for it and then got the part.
Yeah,
he said he sent out emails to everybody saying, listen, I'm gonna come in and audition for this character, this character is me, and mm-hmm. if you all say that I'm not the character, that's fine. And then they all emailed him back, we all have already been talking about that we think this character is cool.
Okay, that's what's up.
We've already kind of been thinking that anyway, you know.
yeah man, I think it's great. Well this has been great, Randall.
And he just sent us a pretty scathing article about Chappelle's special.
Who did it?
Andy just sent it to us.
Okay.
The aggressive Netflix special only serves as further reminder that the once groundbreaking star has lost his way and his sense of humor. Dear Dave Chappelle, transgender comedians can take a joke, but why are yours so funny? So unfunny.
Oh, yeah.
Welp. What do you think of the character? Because this is from The Guardian. What do you think of the character Trent Grimm?
I think he's had a reckoning.
Yeah.
I
think Ted caused his reckoning.
I think there's going to be more. Well, I think they got kind of bumped up as in cast, like as like maybe they're regulars. So yeah. I think there's going to be just from an outside a production standpoint, I think there's going to be more from that character. So,
yeah, I liked at first. I didn't like him, and you're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to. He's an adversary.
You're supposed to think that this guy's like a pompous ass.
Yeah.
You know, Trent Grimm from The Independent.
Right. Said, yeah. Yeah. The Independent. Right.
You know, and but then you start to see, no, he's not a pompous ass. Mm-hmm. He takes this job seriously.
Takes the job seriously.
That's why he always says Trent Grimm from The Independent. He takes this job seriously.
Yeah.
He could have, that first article he wrote about Ted, he could have savaged him in that article.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. He was like, yeah, I don't like that he does this. I don't like that he does this. I don't like that he does this. But he's good at this, and he deserves a chance, and he deserves to be here.
Yeah.
Considering how Nate told him, you don't even deserve to be here.
Yeah.
Like, to that, I'd have been like, man, I'm like, well, I'm here, and you know, I've led this team through thick and thin. What have you done?
Right.
You're here on my goodwill. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why you're here. You're here on my goodwill.
Yeah.
I deserve this. You may have deserved it, but you didn't get it without me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was when he kept talking about, nobody pointed out to Nate all these plans and stuff that he draws up, mm-hmm. that the coach gives him credit for, by the way.
Yeah.
If those plans go wrong, Ted is savaged.
Right.
Why would you give this fucking guy a chance? Why would you? It's all used. But if it goes good, he gives the credit to them.
Yeah.
That's a leader.
That's a leader. That's what you do.
You know, that's a leader. Ted is willing to take the chance that this shit's going to go fucking bad. Right. And I'll get blamed. I'll take the blame if it goes bad.
Right.
Nate's not willing to do no shit like that.
No, he's not.
You know.
He's the best villain on TV since Gus Fring.
Yeah, Beard and Roy tried to explain that to him.
He didn't get it.
What's the coach do? I'm like, it's just, bruh. Yeah. If shit goes wrong, it's his responsibility. If the shit goes wrong, all eyes are on him now.
It's going to be because the way that the show closed, it's going to be interesting to see, because it's like he's not backing down. So that conversation that they had, that blowout, I was like, oh, yeah. He ain't stepping back. Yeah.
Bruh, so, I might have slapped the shit out of him if I was Ted. Don't you even consider putting my son in something.
Yo.
I'm the opposite of your daddy. Mm-hmm. You need to go home with your son. He'd have caught the backhand in that office.
Put
my child in anything. You need to go home to your daughter. Is that what I need to do?
shout out to Nick Muhammad, though. Like,
yeah, he's good. Yeah, and I like how they grade his hair. Mm-hmm. They gradually grade his hair. I'm like, yeah, man, because he's a twisted dude.
Yeah,
and it's showing
great,
up.
That's a great adversary for them, because like the husband, the ex-husband, Rebecca's ex-husband, running that team, and
yeah,
man,
he's just a classic English villain.
Yeah,
ex-husband. He's just everything that you think when you think he's probably having a great time playing that role. It's just like a classic English villain,
just an asshole.
Yeah,
with a smiling in your face.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good show, man. I think it deserves all the accolades. I just think people want to be contrarians to it. If it's good, it's good. Something a song can be popular. It's pop music because a lot of people like the shit.
Like it. You know, everybody likes that Silk Sonic.
Yeah, I was talking about it last week. Like where I was talking about who was I talking about? Might have been talking about Alessia Cara, who is a pop star, but it's like you listen to it, it's like, oh yeah, that's she's really talented, but it's just like, oh, that's good. It's just not a realm that I'm always in. It's like a realm that I'm not always in because I'm old. And then I listen to podcasts and I listen to like a lot of the old shit that I made a playlist on Apple Music where it's just jams, and some of that shit is from like 2001. You know what I mean?
That's how I am. Bro, I'm in the gym listening to Lifting to the Mighty OJs. I'm just saying that. Yeah. I love music. Sweet, sweet music. Doing curls. I got my clients listening to the shit. Dude, like this.
I gotta say, I'll close on this because like I don't know, like there's so much like dissonance in New York where I made this playlist and it's at least 3 or 4 hours of music. So I parked my car and I'm walking down the scummy ass like Times Square area, and I'm walking down and I was like, oh, Amel LaRue came on, like this record Shine.
I know.
You know the record, like from
that's our generation, dog.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, oh my God, I love this song. Yeah. And there's like this homeless guy throwing a sign, just like spazzing out, and it's like Amel LaRue's in my earbuds. It's like, promise is broken. Na, 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 na. I'm about to shine. It's like, God damn, this fucking city.
I'm walking and Brand New Heavies comes on one day. I'm going to work. Da-da-da. And I'm walking in the job. I'm like, oh, I got a soundtrack coming into work.
Yeah, man. It's
thank
it's
you,
great.
Amazon, for giving me this soundtrack.
Shit, man.
Listen to this old ass shit. You know.
I don't know. And let's close on this. Cause do you think as comedians, because we do what we do, there's a social thing where we kind of in our regular life where we kind of shut down in a way where we're just like, you know, maybe because we get that release of being on stage,
we don't have to be on in real life.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I noticed this. So there was, okay, so I was going to the theater on Friday night, and there were these guys that work the door, like the ushers and everything. And they seen me, even though we have masks on, they see me come in there for a few weeks. And it's like, and you got to show your ID and your little card right. that you work there. And one of them was like, excuse me, sir, excuse me. I need to see you need to walk through the metal detector. And I was like, I work here. What are we doing? And then he was joking. And I was like, oh, you were joking. I didn't get it because I was like, I'm trying to get to go to work. And I was just like, am I an asshole?
No, but he has to know how to say, I'm fucking with you. Take your ass. Take your stupid
yeah,
ass.
Yeah. Because he was. He was like, I'm just joking. I was like, oh, okay. Because I wasn't
going to push the joke. Yeah.
I was
yeah.
in the mood. And then. Going there. And then yesterday,
you take your ass.
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing? And yesterday I parked my car in this garage that I've been there for a few weeks now, and I dropped my car off, and he's like, what time are you going to be back? I probably was like after midnight, something like that. And the guy was like, you know, we know we're closed. And I was like, no, you're not. This is a 24-hour lot. And he was like, oh, I was just joking. I was like, oh. I didn't get his joke. I was just like,
yeah, comics. We like when he says, no, I'm joking, that's where you're supposed to laugh.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's the punchline. That's a weak punchline, bro.
I was like, because I switched
your punchlines, man.
I was like, because I'm thinking logically, because I switched garages. Because yeah. my last yeah. garage wasn't 24 hours, so I needed 24.
That's comedians, man. Yeah. It's like, that's a weak punchline, dog.
Yeah, it's like, and that's why we're professionals.
Takes a stronger punchline than that to get a rise out of me, son.
Exactly. And then sometimes you can use your power and it could be too strong.
Yeah.
So you have to shut the fuck up, especially at my day job where somebody said something to me and I was like, you could get eviscerated if I responded back to what you just said. And I like getting a paycheck every other week, so
there you go.
I am not saying shit to you. I was like, oh, you all right, you got
you would. Yeah.
Well, Randolph, this has been a delight as always, man. I'm glad you were able to sit down and do this, man.
Anytime you get my time. We don't get to, you know, because I'm so happy that you are on that stage. I'm really proud of you. It's happening.
Thanks, man. I'm proud of you too, man.
I just need you to take care of yourself while you work, because it's gonna be rough on you for a couple of weeks.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's not that, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I think with exercise and sleep,
right,
and trying to just eating better, it's a lot better. I still got more work to do.
Keep all that up.
Still could work harder, but I'm buying a lot of fruits and vegetables and. You know, but yeah, hopefully it'll be good. Plug what you got going on.
I don't really have anything coming other than the show.
Open mic with Reese Waters.
It's on WUSA9.com. If you want to watch it, you can watch it live in time on the website, WUSA9.com. Go to the top of the website, 7 p.m. Eastern. It's a talk show based in DC on WUSA9.
Yes.
7 p.m. Monday through Friday, you know, working on that. I'm still doing stand up, you know, I'm trying to start to hit more spots. Now there's more spots are opening up, I'm starting to hit more spots, and then we'll see. But right now, my focus is on the show. And I do have a blog, RandolphTerrence.com. Just Google RandolphTerrence.com, TERRANCE. Randolph Terrence, let me make sure, because I don't know if it's through Substack. I don't know how they do.
Oh, you're on Substack now.
I think it's Substack.
That's serious.
No, wait a minute. It may not be.
Is it Medium or Substack?
Okay, let me go to the site. Oh. What?
You don't know what you're on?
Apparently, I've been suspended.
You said something racist?
No, I don't know why. I'll have to check into it.
You talk about space Jews.
That's my next plan. The residence email address hasn't been a friend. I don't know. I'll see. Just okay. Look up randolphchairs.com. I'll take care of it. It's where cool. I write a blog. So,
you know, I was thinking this. We can't necessarily do a digits podcast, but we could do an Uncle Nearest podcast.
We can.
I did some reconnaissance while I was at Wegmans this morning, and I did see Uncle Nearest. It's like $50.
Yeah, we can do it. Let me know.
It's like me, you, Rod, Karen.
Let me know.
Mike B.
We videotaping that one.
Yeah, we should do something.
Yeah, we can do that one on. We can do it all on Three Guys On.
We could do it three guys on.
On everybody's shit.
Yeah.
Just put it on everybody's shit.
Yeah, so I think we should. We should do that instead of
we just gonna drink and talk shit.
Yeah, I mean, we won't. You know, some stuff will have to probably get cut out, but
yeah. Well, Andy, it'll be fine.
I just thought of that because I was like, oh, well, we would love to do a digits one, and we'll make it. Hopefully, can make it happen eventually.
Yeah, y'all, let me know. Just let me know. We'll talk about this in the text thread.
We'll toss that out. Float that idea out.
Yeah.
This has been great as always, man. And we'll be talking. Everybody, absolutely. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time. Take it easy, right. Everybody.